monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Scorpio, did we get to Peter McCullough? Did we get him the...
November 9th, 1989. History is made. The Berlin Wall falls. Years pass. Decades end. A new century is born. In 2021, one wall remains at Revolution Radio. The wall between Studio A, the Wisdom Circle, and Studio B, the Raw Deal. The wall falls. History is made. Wisdom Circle plus Raw Deal equals the event. James Fetzer. David Scorpio. Giuseppe Baffangolo. History is made. And now, the event.
Well, we got our guest. I'm terribly concerned. This guy is sensational. He is the most cited medical expert in the United States, if not in the world. So I'm sending him the link again to make sure he's got it. I believe there's going to be a brief delay here, Giuseppe, for which I take responsibility, because I ought to have double-checked that he had the link. I want to say how delightful it is to have Scorpio back with us. And, Scorpio, perhaps you'd like to give us your assessment of the current state of the world while we're waiting for Peter to join us.
The big news story is this debacle in Ukraine. And from my perspective, the West is the aggressor here by trying to goad Ukraine into joining NATO, of all things, which doesn't make any sense at all. And really, this whole mess began when the Russian government was toppled by the pro-Russian government was toppled by a color revolution in 2014, led by the nefarious covert actions of people like Victoria Nuland and other allies like herself. And what I see is there's sort of a culture war going on for the Ukraine. Ukraine's always been under the influence of Russia. It was part of Russia until, 1991? And so they're trying to take Ukraine and put it into the global homo empire, and that's where the culture war comes in. And so I think really it's interesting. This is all about the pipeline and stopping the pipeline that connects Russia and Germany. And the big loser is going to be the American people with all these sanctions. We're going to have much higher gas prices, and somehow they're already blaming the inflation on the Ukraine crisis, which doesn't make any sense, but that's where they're going to take it with the enemy war transmissions known as the mainstream media.
Yeah, I think, Scorpio, you got it exactly right. It's always been to target Nord Stream 2, which is going to bring, you know, closer and closer economic and political connections between Germany and Russia. It appears the West has been, and Israel especially, has been adamantly opposed to that happening. So they're contriving these events in Ukraine. Blackwater, we know, is already there. There's shelling in these different regions taking place. But Putin, in my opinion, made a brilliant gesture. In fact, Donald Trump regarded it as an act of genius in declaring the independence of the two regions that are under dispute, which now entitles Russia to do whatever those disputed regions that are now independent might ask Russia to do, These are areas where they speak the Russian language, where they have all their friends and relatives in Russia, where they've been a part of Russia for centuries, and the very idea of trying to squelch and require them to speak Ukrainian instead of Russian, for example, exemplifies the absurdity of the situation politically. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Well, I think both you and Scorpio have absolutely boiled away the goo to get to the globalist true agenda, which is to block that flow of petroleum and natural gas from Russia to Germany and then to Europe, and allow the globalist pipeline to rule the day. And in addition, you could surmise that this additional effort is part of the Zionist effort since the late 19th century to the blood libel against Germany and Russia when it was Tsarist Russia, to because those two, Kaiser Wilhelm and Tsar Nicholas, blocked the Synagogue of Satan Rothschild effort to have a new world, one world government, new world order in the late 1890s, and have been trying to destroy those two nation states ever since.
So, listen, I'm going to try to call Peter to make sure he has the information. So okay. You, Scorpio, can.
Okay, great. Scorpio, it's great to have you here. And so the other big thing that's going on is this collapse of the scamdemic and the movement to make it from COVID to COVAIDS, because the Jew jab essentially gives the recipients a very high likelihood of having acquired immune deficiency syndrome from that ridiculous genetic experiment. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's interesting on several levels, Giuseppe. They were injected with an experimental medical protocol. Well, it may not have been experimental,
right?
But basically something that alters your immune system to focus on producing this one, spike protein to protect you against so-called COVID. And so it makes sense that the immune system is going to have a serious strain, if not even collapse. So, and I think, it's debatable whether or not HIV actually causes AIDS or
right.
where, if it was other factors that caused the collapse of the immune system.
Right.
Either way, like you said, this jab is going to cause serious health problems. So this is a preemptive strike to try to stop people from making the connection like, oh, all of a sudden we have AIDS again after, it's been dormant. We haven't heard anything about AIDS and, 15 years or so.
Right.
Never mind that.
Yeah.
And the other thing I found interesting, Giuseppe, is that this collapse of the COVID narrative, the collapse of the whole, hey, we're going to give everybody a vaccine passport, that collapses at the same exact time that the evil Russians, are invading Ukraine. So it's awfully strange coincidental timing, if nothing else.
Well, the globalist media is essentially a 24-hour porno theater, and so but it's fear it's fear porno, and so they've run this popular fear porno Saving Ryan's Privates, but now they're going to the next movie, which is Vladimir Putin is going to rape your puppy. It's crazy.
And it's awfully odd the timing of this, how they coincide, as the COVID narrative. Part of the problem they're having is the COVID narrative has sort of collapsed upon itself. More and more, normies are seeing there's something wrong with the whole narrative they've been fed.
Right.
So it's just interesting as that collapses, the Russian crisis evolves at the exact same time. I find that highly suspicious.
Oh, look at the guest of honors here. Welcome, Dr. Peter McCullough.
Hi, thanks. It's cold down here in Dallas. We got another ice storm blowing in.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Professor Jim Fetzer put together, you're certainly a hero of honest allopaths worldwide. So, Jim, take the helm.
Well, it's just such an honor to have Peter McCullough join us today. By my surmise, he is the most cited medical authority in the United States, if not in the world today. and he's been a champion in speaking out about the horrendous fraud taking place over the COVID pandemic and this worldwide effort at genocide. Peter, I think you would agree every medical expert in the world knows this is a fraud, knows that the staggering deaths and adverse effects justified way back in the beginning pulling these products off the market, that the CDC, the FDA, the NIH, even the WHO were all corrupt and complicit in the past. Had there been a mere handful, maybe 4 or 5 deaths, for example, much less the tens of thousands, actually millions of deaths that have been taking place here, the product would have been pulled off the market immediately. So give us your take on the big picture here. What the hell is going on? How can this genocide be allowed to proceed? This is, staggers the mind. Yours, Peter.
You know, Dr. Peter Breggin and Ginger Breggin have published the book. It's been out now a few months. It's called COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey. It has a timeline, and it has approximately 1,000 references. This is a masterpiece of nonfiction. I wrote one of the introductions along with Dr. Lee Vliet and Dr. Vladimir Zelenko. But this lays out the complicated web and the plan that was in place to have mass vaccination be a worldwide effort. And it was a plan. There's no doubt about it. That's the only way it all came together. Including knowledge of the spike protein, antibodies against the spike protein, where the furin cleavage joint is. All of this was known ahead of time. This is known before the virus ever got out of the lab in Wuhan, China. Now, we've been on the medical side, we've been responding to it like it's a natural history event. But in fact, there were tremendous planning that went into it. I went on Joe Rogan, a legendary podcaster, and I pulled up the Johns Hopkins planning seminar called The SPARS Pandemic, and that was in 2017. They published over an 80-page reference guide of how this was going to be laid out. They said it's a coronavirus. It's going to be related to MERS and SARS. How important social media would be, actually, you know, filtering the media messages. How important it would be for the president to get on and be fully engaged here, how they were going to use all the tools that we see them using today. The difference is in the SPARS pandemic planning, they never thought America would wake up. They never thought the world would wake up to the extent that it has. And now, you know, people have figured this out. This is all in the open, and people have figured this out.
Well, it's staggering when you had a threat that represented a 99.9% survival rate, regardless of your circumstance, should be treated as though it were a menace to the world's health. It was simply outrageous. We're joined today by my two colleagues, Giuseppe Vapangulo, who's a medical expert himself, and David Scorpio, who's a very astute political analyst and commentator. Scorpio, I want you to have a first opportunity with Peter McCullough.
Well, Dr. McCullough, I'd like to thank you for your time and coming on the show. And, you know, you mentioned the SPARS document and sort of this plan they had. And, you know, if you look through the World Economic Forum documents and the Gavi documents, they make it very clear that they wanted to create a system where vaccination would be sort of a central role in your ability to participate in society. And as you pointed out, this whole narrative is really collapsing on itself. It seems like, you know, just when I go out and talk to people, more and more people know they've been lied to, yet, you know, you're not going to really hear a word about it on the, the mainstream press, which I call the enemy war transmissions. So, you know, we have this sort of disparity in reality between what the average person sees with their own eyes and what they're told is reality on television. So how do you see this going forward? Are we going to be able to pierce this veil of lies and essentially fear porn over this last 2 years through the mainstream media? Or are they going to be able to keep this phony narrative going as more and more people get sick and die from this so-called vaccine?
You know, I don't think they can keep it going. You know, I really had my eyes open when I went on Joe Rogan, the legendary podcaster, and I learned a lot about media when I went on with Joe Rogan. I went on December 8th, and by December 27th, we had already had 40,000 downloads and listens, and then there was a big blowback from Spotify, Neil Young, Prince Harry, and others. And that blowback caused even more people to download it and review it and fact check it. And there were reviews done. There were transcripts done. And you know what I learned about this? The average age of someone who listens to a Joe Rogan interview is age 24. The interviews are 3 hours, and they listen to every word. These are intelligent young people who are perceptive. And there's a ton of them. And you know, the average Rogan viewer, they don't even have mainstream media. They don't even subscribe to cable TV. They wouldn't know what CNN or Fox or CNBC even is. And, you know, I've learned a lot about this. You know, I'm a frequent contributor to Fox and a lot of the major mainstream media. You know, their audiences are shrinking. And the much bigger audiences are these other independent media outlets, and people are flocking to them. The most interesting thing is that as soon as something becomes banned, it becomes even of greater interest. So this keeps backfiring for those who are in the cancel culture. So I was on Dan Bongino. He had a series called Canceled in America. And it's even created more interest and awareness. And, you know, one of the reasons why I'm out there is from the very beginning, I knew this was a treatable illness. I couldn't stand to see my patients or my friends or my family members, people in my circle suffer. I knew they needed early treatment. And then when the vaccines came along, I published an op-ed in The Hill. I was a regular contributor the first year of the pandemic. And the title of the paper, I'm so glad I titled it this way, it was called The Great Gamble of the Vaccine Development Program. And what a gamble it was. We bet the farm on these vaccines. And you know, like a lot of medical products, the first generation doesn't turn out too good. You know, the very first drug to replace Coumadin or warfarin, a blood thinner, you know, we had hyped that drug for years. It's called Zymelogatrin. There were about 5 liver-related bleeding deaths, and it was off the market. And the whole field was set backwards for 5 years. And with the COVID-19 vaccines, we already had excess mortality in the United States by January 22nd of last year. We had 182 deaths. The limit would have been 150 for all the vaccines combined across 70 different vaccines, 278 million shots. So only 27 million Americans have taken the vaccine. We had excess mortality. If we would have had an independent data safety monitoring board, the right people involved, the program would have been shut down probably in February for excess mortality. And it would have been just like the 1976 swine flu campaign where we said, listen, we gave it a try. It didn't work out, and we would have ended the pandemic because we would have treated our way out of it. The vaccines basically created this very limited immunity that just propagated these hyperdominant variants. It basically provoked the Delta outbreak, and then it provoked the very tall and narrow Omicron outbreak. The data are clear.
Giuseppe, you and Peter are two of the most knowledgeable experts in this field. As a physician to physician, you have a bonanza here. Giuseppe, join the conversation with Peter McCall.
Well, Jim, I'm not a physician let Dr. McCullough know that 20 years ago I had a midlife career change. I went back to one of the top 5 oriental medicine colleges in the United States. I graduated summa cum laude with a master's of science in oriental medicine and a bachelor's of science in Eastern and Western natural nutrition. So I'm an oriental medicine practitioner in my own small holistic practice for the past 15 years. And so I come at it from the natural medical side of things, but I because it was a master of science, I did go through for every Eastern training class I had a comparable Western class, because the people who own the college realized that I can't tell people, well, I'm going to treat you for toxic blood heat, which is the diagnosis in oriental medicine for cancer. And so they wanted us to have a functional knowledge of a nurse or a physician's associate, so I then can easily translate between the two, the allopathic world and the natural world. And so that's why, Jim, you know, but I'll tell you another thing real quickly before I ask my question is that I named my initial practice where I opened in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 15 years ago, Jingwell, which is the first point where the energy or the chi comes out from deep within the body at the fingertips and the toe tips. And I thought, well, this is a blossoming practice and everything. And so, but so many people were coming into my practice saying, I tried all the doctors, I tried all the medicines, and it's only made me worse, or it's injured me. Is there anything you can do to help me? There's so much iatrogenic injury that I started to make a joke of it, and I said I should have named my clinic the Clinic of Last Resort, because 80% of my patients would come to me and say, and still do, say, well, you're my last resort. I want to try this. And so what happened to the good doctors like yourself to allow
– Giuseppe, let me just intervene to say that while you may not have an MD, you are a better physician than any physician I know, with a few exceptions. So I just want to say you're deserving of that accolade and respect, my friend. You're doing great work, and you've assisted friends of mine when they were in dire straits over just this problem. So proceed now. Just understand the esteem in which we hold you.
Well, I certainly appreciate that, Jim. And so my question, Dr. McCullough, and I'm a big fan of yours, by the way, because what coming out the way you have is extremely courageous. You've literally put your career on the line. And so and probably maybe even your life with the way the globalists play hardball. And anyway, my question is, what happened to – the AMA and doctors, they used to control their own ship. They were the captains of their own ship. And sometime around the 70s, they were like, well, we don't really want to do billing. And so we'll bring in, we'll join these HMOs and these PPP, patient, whatever that PPO things was. And essentially, they acceded control to corporations and now are essentially controlled by these globalists, and big pharma it doesn't care about health. It cares about palliative care and treating symptoms. And I don't believe it delivers cures at all. Where I am primarily focused on getting to the root cause using natural methods, nutrition, Chinese herbology, nutraceuticals to get to the root cause and cure people, which I do very effectively. But it seems rare to me that especially these big pharma loyal doctors, that all they do is listen to their sales rep and hawk the latest drug, because that'll get them a trip to Cancun to be trained in it and paid. And I mean, that might be a cynical view, but what my question to you, sir, is what happened to your profession that it became so enslaved by big pharma?
Well, let me just say at the outset that for the COVID-19 pandemic, I think it's clear that the naturopathic, ancient Eastern Chinese doctors, the integrative medicine doctors, which are typically allopathic or osteopathic doctors, right, that are bridging the transition, that they've made a much greater contribution compared to the traditional ivory tower allopathic doctors. And in fact, I think if you were to take a survey across naturopathic doctors all the way through that continuum, you'd find that the vast majority of naturopathic doctors said this is a treatable illness. We have an approach. In so many ways, because of the catabolic strains and all the metabolic and inflammatory and thrombotic perturbations of the virus, in fact, the multidimensional naturopathic response plane with respect to therapies is far more appropriate than the single drug allopathic approach. And we have a circumstance here where patients have gravitated to naturopathic doctors, integrative medicine doctors, and almost exclusively independent doctors who are independently employed. They can make their own decisions. They have absolutely no other influence outside of taking care of the patient. This is very important. Now, the remainder of the fiduciary relationship between a doctor and a patient, that relationship, that circle now is broken. And it's broken by the influence of insurance companies and pre-authorization and what's paid. It's broken by clinic rules and hospital rules and health system rules. And then overall, college rules of a various professional college or society. And it's no longer about the doctor making the best decision for the patient. Now, listen, I've got plenty of experience with big pharma. I've led big pharma clinical trials, data safety monitoring boards. I've been a consultant to pharma. I prescribe these drugs like all the other doctors. What's the difference? The difference is when it came down to a clear development that big pharma was going bad, I had the courage to recognize it, step out and do something about it quickly. I mean, like in March of 2020, where so many of my colleagues were gripped in fear. And once they realized what was going down, they got in line and then they started to double down and triple down on this idea that the only thing that was going to be done for patients is the vaccine. And they can't get out of this cycle. It's interesting that even though other products have come down from Operation Warp Speed, like monoclonal antibodies, like the Pfizer drug or Merck drug, these doctors are paralyzed. They don't even help patients access these drugs. I had a patient the other day in Dallas said no one was helping him even with the EUA drugs. And so this paralysis, so part of it's guilt, shame, and fear. They see other doctors having their employment threatened or their employment lost, lawsuits. They are so in fear that they can't budge. And a lot of them are good people. They're smart people. But I think they're going to look back at this chapter in history and start to think, boy, they weren't too proud of where they sat. Sure, they protected their jobs or they did. But they certainly didn't help their patients and they didn't help society at large. I've been from the very beginning just true to the data, and I may have been bigger and stronger than others in terms of my publication track record and my ability to basically reports and become really a trusted figure in America on the national news, as well as in U.S. Senate testimony. I'm going to have one of the marquee presentations at the CPAC meeting coming up. And I'm basically more of a liberal Democratic voter. I'm moving more towards the right, but I think that's interesting that I'm on the stage at CPAC. But it's because people want to hear the medical truth. Do you know that no one
take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Huh, that's odd. I guess we're back, Jim. Let me get rid of the promo. Oh, Jim's not there. Mitchell, all of a sudden the bumpers died. Mitchell killed the brake. Okay, so we're back. Dr. McCullough, I'd like to get you to maybe elaborate a little bit more on the moral and ethical judgment you made to put your career and potentially your life on the line to become a public figure, a spokesperson for ethical medical treatment of this so-called pandemic.
You know, I had no interest in becoming a public figure, but I was thrust into the public really with early observations and impetus in treating patients early. One of the first calls I got was from Peter Navarro in the White House. Peter knew something was going on. He knew hydroxychloroquine played a partial role, but Rick Bright was blocking it. Stephen Hahn at the FDA was trying to use the EUA mechanism effectively to stranglehold hydroxychloroquine. So I wrote a support letter to see if we couldn't broaden things. It wasn't successful, but it was clear the first year of the pandemic was the year of hydroxychloroquine. And as things settle out, Joe Ladapo, the current Florida Surgeon General, and I published a meta-analysis showing that the benefit of hydroxychloroquine alone is about a 25% effect size. So it does something. It's not a miracle drug. But the second year of the pandemic was ivermectin. And ivermectin in the 33 randomized trials, just restricted to that, has about a 56% benefit. And I was really struck with the efforts against ivermectin. They were even stronger than hydroxychloroquine. And, the FDA came out and said it's only a horse dewormer. Our director of the National Allergy Immunology Branch, in a series of overtly misleading statements to America, said, don't use it. It's only a horse dewormer. And to make matters worse, beginning of September, the American Medical Association, which should not have a horse in this race, AMA is not a drug treatment society. They are not a treatment guidelines society. They don't have expertise. The AMA came out with a campaign early in September to abolish the use of ivermectin, And I was stunned last week when the ITEC trial came out. The ITEC trial came out of Malaysia, prospective randomized trial of ivermectin, very late in the hospital. Keep in mind, very late in the hospital, almost no drug has an effect. We didn't see really anything for hydroxychloroquine, remdesivir, tocilizumab, barcitinib, just nothing works very, very late. Anyhow, this randomized trial uses ivermectin late. This is in Malaysia. They use relatively little steroids, only about 25% of people I had on steroids. It's an unblinded trial, and the primary outcome, the physician assigns. The physician assigns what the severity is and what their oxygen level is. So the physician assigned primary endpoint is neutral. However, when you look in the table of outcomes, the objective outcomes of who died and who didn't, who went on the ventilator and who didn't, all were strikingly in favor of ivermectin. And it was stunning. I just tweeted on this, and even the American Medical Association, which has a direct conflict of interest, right? The AMA should not be publishing anything on ivermectin because they have a stated goal to abolish the use of ivermectin. So they should, AMA, because of their stated conflict of interest, should have nothing to do with ivermectin, yet they can't help themselves. They published the ITEC protocol. And I want to read this to you. The ITEC clinical trials published in JAMA Internal Medicine, February 18, 2022. The first author is Lim from Malaysia. Listen to this. Ivermectin, 241 patients in that group. Control is 249. The number of patients, and this is using ivermectin in the hospital pretty late. The number of patients who ended up on the mechanical ventilator, 4 for ivermectin, 10 for the control group, admitted to the ICU, 6 for ivermectin, 8 for the control group, and then all-cause mortality, listen to this, 3 in the ivermectin group, 10 in the control group. And so the way this was basically spun in the media is that this was a negative trial for ivermectin. This was going to end the use of ivermectin. And to show you how imperceptive the AMA is and those who are trying to basically abolish the use of ivermectin, they can't even look a few rows down in the table and see the benefit of ivermectin coming out. The ITEC trial, if anything, is going to make people demand even to a greater degree of vehemence that they want ivermectin in the hospital. It's a positive trial. It's small and underpowered, but numerically, it favors ivermectin.
Well, I've had ivermectin twice. So once when I had an encounter with what I presume was COVID, I was actually briefly hospitalized, once for 7 hours, once for eight. A colleague sent me ivermectin, and I believe that turned the corner for me. I'm taking it again just as a follow-up. Right now, I'm in the middle of an ivermectin protocol, and I extol its virtues, but even members of my own family, Peter, won't hear of it. They have been so thoroughly brainwashed, and it's just tragic, absolutely tragic. I'm so glad you worked that study into our discussion, because it demonstrates what they want to deny, that ivermectin is good. They call it a horse dewormer and all these other dumb things. And while, yes, it's true, it is available in a form that can be used for horses, it actually is a wonder drug or close to it, as you're describing here. Scorpio, I know you're eager to get back into action here. Scorpio.
Well, you know, what's interesting about this calling ivermectin a horse dewormer, which is true, it just shows you how you can lie through a mission. And the fact is, I lived in South America for almost 5 years, and ivermectin is a very popular drug for parasites and other conditions in all over South America as well as Africa. So it's one of the most widely used drugs in the world for a variety of reasons, and just to call it a horse dewormer, on the face it's true, but it's just incredible how you can lie through a mission, and it shows you how the media relies on the public's ignorance of things to make their lies believable. And so I guess my question for you, Dr. McCullough, is I don't want to take you too far down the conspiracy rabbit hole here, but do you think it's possible that this so-called vaccine was actually designed to cause harm? I know a lot of people who have been harmed by this. I know in my own personal life, in my own circle of friends, I know four or five people who had very severe effects, including heart attacks, and then coming down with a rather virulent cancer within several months of taking the so-called vaccine. So I don't want to take it too far down the rabbit hole of conspiracy, but do you think it's possible that this was actually designed to harm people?
Yeah, it's impossible to know the intent, since there's so many stakeholders involved and there's so many different vaccines. So, we may be discussing the genetic vaccines, Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson in the United States. But, over in Asia, they'd be talking about the Sinovac or the Corona vaccine, which is a killed virus vaccine. So there's not a single vaccine, and the stakeholders are really a consortium, a web of individuals. I had a conversation with Scott Atlas, who was in the White House task force under President Trump, and I did get a chance to ask him about intent. Wait, what are people really intending? And he really felt that people had good intentions. It's just that things have gone so bad. They've had good intentions, for instance, with contagion control and masking and what have you, but it's just gone so bad. He thinks incompetence. He doesn't really think our federal agencies have the analytic skills, and they're not keeping up with the data. I think that's pretty clear. If you notice, when an official goes on TV, they can't study. They don't cite anything. So our director of the National Allergy Immunology Branch, the CDC director, they actually don't cite any data. And when I go on national TV, I was on twice last week. I'm going to be on several times today. I'm always citing the studies. And Americans, they listen to this. And the thing they always say is, well, if it's not Dr. McCullough, then it's Dr. Bhattacharya or Dr. Risch or Dr. Atlas or Dr. Milhone or Dr. Askewi. Dr. Kulldorff, what's unique about us? We're always citing the data because we're publishing the data and we're reviewing more reports than anyone else. And Americans listen to this. They listen to something that's cited and supported versus something that's unsupportive and seems reckless. and they know instantaneously where the truth is coming from. And what I've said to the vaccine stakeholders is the truth is like kryptonite. That's the reason why they can't even engage in a discussion, not even an email. They don't even have the courage to send me an email regarding my views. That tells you what a grip of fear the vaccine stakeholders are really in right now.
Peter, I think Scott Atlas is being unusually kind and generous. Tony the Rat was in 2017 already predicting the Trump administration would confront a surprise pandemic over and beyond the seasonal flu and HIV/AIDS. How could it be a surprise if Fauci is predicting it in 2017? And given that he's responsible for pandemic preparedness, how could we have not been surprised? I think after RFK Jr.'s book, no one can have any doubt that Anthony Fauci was a tip of the spear. It appears the whole design of this product, this creation, was affected by all of his work on AIDS. We're getting reports now that HIV is in the injections. We know they're not medicine. They don't do what vaccines traditionally do by introducing a weak strain so the body can develop antibodies. On the contrary, they destroy your antibodies so that you can die from any number of different causes that you would have otherwise been able to effortlessly withstand. I believe this is happening again and again and again. And, of course, the absurd practice of the CDC to declare anyone who's vaccinated as still unvaccinated 2 weeks later because they know the vast majority of immediate reactions are going to happen, that they can therefore just count those as among the unvaccinated to run up the numbers. I mean, this is grotesque beyond words, Peter. And every expert out there studying these matters has to be aware this is a gigantic scam. So while I like Scott Atlas, I think he was being far too generous. I mean, I think heads have to roll over all of this. We're talking about mass murder on a scale unprecedented in human history.
Well, you know, Scott, yeah, work with them side by side. I haven't. So, yeah, I'm probably not going to ascribe any type of motive until I have a chance to talk to these individuals. They were invited to the Senator Ron Johnson's Senate panel, 5-hour Senate panel called A Second Opinion on January 24th. We invited all of the public health leaders. We had over a dozen expert doctors who had treated COVID, published on extensively. We had thousands of peer-reviewed publications by the authors in the room. This was far more extensive than what the CDC or NIH could muster. We had expert PhD scientists, including ex-vaccine developers, both messenger RNA and adenoviral DNA developers, nurses, patients, lawyers. And, you know, none of the federal agency officials showed up. I think the fact that they don't show up to declared Senate hearings is really telling you that they're on the run. They know they're wrong.
Well, Ron Johnson is my senator from Wisconsin. I'm very proud of him. In the beginning, when he was first elected, I was skeptical, but he's become a powerful force for the American people, not just the residents of Wisconsin, but for all of us. Giuseppe, I know you have further thoughts here. Go.
Well, I would like to ask Dr. Peter McCullough to explain this data, which is in 2019-2020, there were 38 million reported cases of PIC, pneumonia, influenza, you know, common cold. And somehow in 2021, there was a massive rebranding. And all of a sudden, there were only 1,822 cases because everything was being called COVID to drive the fearful populace towards getting this experimental injection. I can't even call it a vaccine because it's not. It's unproven, untested genetic therapy that could never get past animal trials. And suddenly, because literally, as the image just showed, the scamdemic of suddenly there's this great danger. They rebranded the pick season. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm glad you showed the worldwide data to show how striking it is. I did get a chance to ask Scott Atlas about this as well, because I presented at a symposium with him in Columbus, Ohio, a few months ago, and I asked Scott about this, and he did, you know, indicate that it wasn't just a U.S. problem. It wasn't just the CDC assay, the original CDC methods that were used as laboratory-derived methods across the country initially that couldn't distinguish between COVID, SARS-CoV-2, and influenza. He said it was a worldwide problem. And Giuseppe, I think you have it right. I think it was a problem of attribution. What happened during the pandemic, especially in so many countries where they couldn't get tests, and, you know, I'm connected to South America, Europe, Africa, Asia. I've been connected through the networks all across the world. There are so many places in the world where they could not get a test. The case count is really just by attribution. It looked like they had COVID. And the inference is that it's just one of these impossible things for flu to go to that low a level. So there must have been attribution of influenza to the COVID-19 numbers. That's the only, that's really the only explanation I think that's tractable.
Well, Edward Henry and John Rappaport have been really quite all over this, how the CDC simply promoted the reclassification of ordinary flu as COVID. I mean, you're talking about transferring 37,998,000 cases of the flu to call them COVID and create an instant pandemic. Giuseppe, I know you have a follow-up, and then we'll get Scorpio.
Well, my follow-up is why did the things like the CDC and the FDA not do their ethical duty and delay this injection? I mean, what does it really do? I mean, if I were – of course, I would never take actually any vaccine, but why would I take – an injection that is unproven, that is all it really does is kind of ameliorate the symptoms a little bit. It doesn't prevent transmission, doesn't prevent the pathogen from actually manifesting in the patient. In fact, all the data now shows that the injected are far more likely to get some form of some variant than the unvaxxed. So why didn't the government agencies do their duty to the citizenry instead of serving their masters, evidently, their overlords at Big Pharma?
I think that was a very perceptive comment. When we look back, historians will look back and try to see the steps and where did this catastrophe really get its roots? What decisions were the bad ones that let this go? When the vaccines came out of the clinical trials, about 60% of people in the clinical trials, I know this from the J&J program for sure, had no medical problems. So the first thing is the vaccines were tested in perfectly well people. Because the companies strictly excluded COVID recovered and even those with positive serologies, they had basically COVID naive patients. So that's first thing, perfectly healthy, COVID naive. And then they randomized them, and when they got the vaccine or placebo, what they found is that the rates of COVID-19 in both groups were far less than 1%. And this is when the community lab testing positivity rates were ranging 5, 10, 15%. So the clinical trials recruited fastidious people who were healthy and COVID-19 naive, and they showed about a 90% reduction in the binary incidence of COVID-19 respiratory illness. But the clinical trials, all of them, showed no difference in hospitalization, and they showed no benefit with respect to mortality. In fact, the Pfizer dossier is the largest and has the longest follow-up of randomized groups. Pfizer shows an excess of mortality among those who had received the vaccine. So that's what we know from the clinical trials. And I don't know if you saw the interviews that broke in the last week by Edward Dowd, former BlackRock manager.
Right.
Dowd said, listen, when he saw more deaths in randomized trial data from Pfizer, he flipped. And he said, this is a non-starter, that the investment community would drop that product in a second. What Dowd is saying, he says, that this will come out. It's obviously has come out, but it'll become more widely known. And he said basically that Pfizer's going to double down, they're going to triple down, and then things are going to get crazy. That's exactly what he said. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen. They got approved. And if at the point they got approved, based on everything I said, if they were strictly applied, let's say to the highest risk group, very carefully, maybe nursing home residents, nursing home workers, somewhere under 3 million people with careful observation, the trial, they still would have been stopped for excess mortality. But we would have looked back on this and say, you know, we are trying to protect the highest risk group. We were following the Great Barrington Declaration. Remember, Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, Martin Kaldorf, and Sunitra Gupta, they published the Great Barrington Declaration just a month or two after I published my seminal paper on how to treat COVID-19 in the American Journal of Medicine. Those are the two landmark papers of 2020. And if we just would have followed the Great Barrington, I'm not against vaccines. Personally, I've accepted them all. I've never questioned them. I'm not against vaccines. We could have navigated forward. But once I saw the first rollout of the vaccines, they were going to hospitals. They actually went to hospitals before the nursing homes. And they were vaccinating young people in the lobbies of the hospitals, having them hold up their vaccine cards and take pictures on social media. I knew something was wrong. I knew when my text messaging was going up saying, listen, you need to come out and get your vaccine. And I said, listen, I've already had COVID. COVID recovered, we're excluded from the trials. And they said, well, you need to get your vaccine anyway. I was like, uh-uh. I knew something was wrong. I said, why aren't they in the nursing homes? You know, the average age of somebody dying with COVID is 83. The 40% of the deaths occur from nursing homes. Just the observation that they did not target nursing homes first was a signal that the COVID-19 vaccine program was not really about protecting the vulnerable.
And 83 is probably the average life expectancy of an American under good circumstances anyway. So the whole thing was fraudulent. Now they want to vaccinate children 5 to 12 and make an annual booster to guarantee an income stream for Big Pharma. Scorpio.
Well, this is a fascinating conversation, and I guess my question would be, you know, where do we draw the line between, you know, a whole bunch of bad mistakes and deliberate malice? We have these same people advocating that pregnant women get this vaccine, which to me, I can't even imagine recommending that. And now we're seeing this push to vaccinate 6 months to 5-year-olds, a group of humans that really have very little statistical chance of even getting sick from this. So doesn't this, some of this, you know, kind of look like malice to you? And I do have a follow-up question. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, the question is what term to use. So the terms I've publicly used, and it's in the Senate record, is malfeasance. Malfeasance is wrongdoing by those in position of authority. So I think that word is supported. You said malice, which means a bad intent, and it's hard because I really can't ascribe intent to anybody unless I talk to them. I really can't. But I can certainly say malfeasance, wrongdoings by those in position of authority. Now, as you know, lead attorney from Germany, Rainer Fulmetsch, is proceeding with crimes against humanity. So he is building the case, and those proceedings are going on. So that, you know, that obviously takes on a whole nature to it of what was done that was wrongdoing and what was the intent. So crimes always have what happened and what was the intent. And then the other term I've used, and I think it's supported, is propaganda. Propaganda is false information put forward by those in position of authority. And we covered a good example when our officials said there's no evidence for ivermectin. They literally said that. That's in tweets and that's in public. They said there's no evidence for ivermectin when there are over 70 supportive studies and over 33 randomized trials. So they could have said, well, you know, the evidence is mixed and we want to discuss it. But this idea of there's no evidence for, that's a great example of propaganda. That's basically misleading the public in a dangerous way, right? So somebody who could have benefited from ivermectin may listen to that message and then think there's no evidence for ivermectin and may not request it or get it and then have a bad outcome. So propaganda leading to bad outcomes and malfeasance as Scorpio pointed out, leading to bad outcomes, I think are clearly in the range of discussion.
Scorpio.
Yeah, very well stated. My follow-up question is, what do you think of Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s book on Anthony Fauci?
Yeah, I'm the most frequently cited doctor in Bobby Kennedy's book because he reached out to me regarding a lot of the content in there. I give him great credit because he moved at a tremendous speed to get that book out, and it has had a tremendous number of sales. Do you know, to this day, it still has not gotten a major book review? Despite despite its towering sales. So that goes to show you how deep this propaganda machine is, where no one will even give it a book review.
Peter, am I right?
More controversial books written in the
history. You have another commitment in just moments from now? Or can you stay longer?
Yeah, I do. I have to jump off at noon. Yeah, but the point is, listen, I think Bobby.
Go ahead.
I want to say quickly, Bobby Kennedy's book is a fast read. It's a good read. It's right up there with Peter Bregan, COVID-19 and the Global Predators. You're going to see a lot more books come out. There's been ones by Andrews, Popper, and by Atlas and Fareed right now, and they all play a role in helping us understand what's going on.
Just to put a question, not overly political, in retrospect, did not Donald Trump make a colossal blunder in locking down the economy? We can explain what happened here many different ways, but it's had calamitous effects on the United States.
I agree. Both presidents have made colossal errors. And the question is it just bad advice? Or do they just have bad intuition or bad decision-making, bad human resource skills? Whatever it is, it's not good. There's not a good conclusion to draw from the presidents. I may have a chance to have a discussion with him this weekend at CPAC, but none of it's good. So the question is, how to go forward from here? Do you know there's some people running for office who clearly understand –
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law? You enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's Ivan Baker. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Within, and he's incredibly courageous for speaking out and maintaining his ability to be on Fox and be on the Hill. So he's done, you know, I mean, he can't be us because he's within the system,
right.
But I mean, he can't.
Wait,
even
I don't want
to
interrupt,
us.
Guys, but the chat room's saying that we're not on air on Revolution Radio.
Yeah, I just
checked. I'm not getting a feed on A anyway.
I just messaged Mitchell. He's about to reply.
Okay. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And obvious, you know, that's great, Scorp. And obviously, we want to take callers during the second hour, including, of course, Paul. And yes, he wants to push the envelope, but Peter McCullough is the wrong person to do that because it would make him vulnerable to all these attacks and thereby nullify the contributions he's making. Are we back on? Has Mitchell got us back?
Yeah,
on?
Mitchell's rehooked up the simulcasting. It was always on B. He was trying to keep the many fans of this show at bay. They were all trying to call in, so he helped us. But
yeah. Well, Jim, I think you're right. You know, we can only push someone like Dr. McCullough so far because, first of all, I think he would have clammed up and, you know, not ever want to come on the show again, which is not a winning proposition for us or anyone else. But, yeah, you know, the world this man lives in is like Giuseppe said, he can't be us, and that's fine. He is pushing the envelope quite a bit. And so I think we need to respect, you know, people for where they are in their perception of things. But I do think there's going to come a point where people are going to have to say, look, this was intentional. This was genocide. How else can you explain wanting to vaccinate six-month-year-old babies and pregnant women?
Scorpio,
I mean,
Reinhardt,
this is beyond bad decision-making.
Reinhard Fulbach is already there. He's already there. He's already he took all this time and effort to put together a rock-solid case for a criminal conspiracy. There's no question about it. And
yes.
Peter McCullough is simply not going to take a stand. I mean, he's got to respect the independent operation of Reinhard. He can do what he can do only if he preserves his political neutrality. That's indispensable. And
yeah,
Paul,
that's a good point, Jim.
And Paul, among others, has to appreciate that. Scorpio.
Yeah, that's a great point, Jim. And I think as time goes on, I think our perspective is going to be validated more and more, at least amongst a larger and larger portion of the population. So, but that doesn't discount what Dr. McCullough is doing. I think he's doing great work with where he is. And we have to remember, too, doctors are, you know, sort of, you know, mind controlled to some degree through their training. I'm not disparaging everything they do, but that is a factor in this, especially when it comes to so-called vaccines.
Giuseppe, didn't you appreciate Peter McCullough when I referred to you a physician to physician, how well he replied? I thought you must have just treasured those moments.
Yeah, I absolutely did. It's an honor to have him realize that and point out clearly that the best doctors right now within the corporate big pharma umbrella, which is a big umbrella, are those who are doing functional medicine and trying to incorporate what I do into what they do. And that, you know, the first world medical system, sadly, is allopathic, but it needs to migrate. And people like McCullough understand the effectiveness of natural solutions of nutrition. We need them to gain power and shift the allopathic metal a model well away from control by big pharma and to, you know, the what should be done with patients initially is change their diet, improve their nutrition with supplements, put them on, you know, exercise, put them getting doing yoga, acupuncture, chiropractic, and the powerful medicines of big pharma should only be used when it's an acute trauma situation or a real life threatening, and that should be the last thing you use. And everything that I do should be the first line of effort and defense. And so guys like McCullough and Scott Atlas and Scott Jensen in Minnesota and the many others, I think they're waking up. And now, and he even made the excellent point that people like Scott Jensen are going to get elected. And over the next decade, we have to get a lot of people in government and shift the government to once again serving the health requirements of the population, not feathering the nest of corrupt big pharma.
When I did my first documentary on the pandemic, was it real or an illusion already? And that was in May of 2020.
Right.
Scott Jensen, as a state senator in Minnesota, who's also a physician, was raising the alarm that he'd been pressured to declare a patient had died from COVID who'd never even been tested.
Right.
And it was he who blew the whistle that the hospitals were getting $11,000 for every patient they admitted as COVID and $36,000 for every patient they put on a ventilator. He would be a sensational governor of Minnesota. I'm just enthralled to hear that he's running for that office.
Oh, yeah, me too, without a doubt.
Scorpio.
Yeah, as dark as this agenda is, I think a lot of it is indeed backfiring. But I think we need to realize this isn't over. There might be new variants. There might be a whole new pathogen they introduce. So I think, you know, we shouldn't just rest on our laurels here and realize that as long as these people are in power, they're going to try to pull another, you know, scamdemic or another, you know, two-year-long fear porn rally to capture our minds and control our behavior. So that's the bigger issue at hand here. And I think the biggest issue at hand here is this globalist parasitical elite class, their fixation on depopulation. This is not going to go away. And if this doesn't work out for them, they're going to try another method perhaps a world war or another more virulent pathogen. So I think we need to really keep our guard up here, even though on a lot of fronts, this narrative is completely falling apart, and we need to keep pushing on that.
Scorpio, you're spot on. The number, by the way, for those who'd like to call, 540-352-4452. Mitchell will field your call. If you're in the chat room and would like to join, let Giuseppe know, and he'll get you here on the air. We want to hear from you. We regard this as perhaps the single most important hour we have ever broadcast. We want to know your reaction to what Dr. Peter McCullough had to say, as well as, of course, the rest of the commentary you got from the three of us. Giuseppe, more of your thoughts.
Well, we have our first caller, the man, the myth, the legend, Paul from California.
Hey, well, you know, I heard my name mentioned, so which always makes me feel good. So I figured I'd give a quick call. You know, Jim, you know, you said a lot of things about me over the years, some of which are true. Others are maybe a little, shall we say, characterization. But I'm not a brute. You know, I do have just a little bit of diplomacy in me. However, I got to tell you that it drives me crazy, absolutely pull my hair out when people know what's going on, when they see all the injuries and they still say, well, I'm not anti-vaccine. Del Bigtree drives me up the wall. I can't tell you how many times I've heard him say, well, I'm not anti-vax. You can see people online that have been injured that have had the so-called adverse events. A lot of them are women, I will say that, where, you know, they'll still say, well, you know, I'm not anti-vax. And they're all effed up from getting a vaccine. It boggles my mind how people can't seem to grasp what is laying before us. And I guess that's part of my frustration. I just have been awake too long. It started in the 90s when I was listening to Dr. Andrew Wakefield and a woman by the name of Carrie Rivera, who had a vaccine-injured child, and the whole thing about autism. And all I needed, for whatever reason, all I needed was to know, and I never thought about it until then, but when they revealed the ingredients as adjuvants, right, aluminum, MSG, squalene, other such things, I just said to myself, oh, no, that's got to be there on purpose to hurt people, right? It just didn't make any sense to me there would be any other purpose since so many people were getting hurt. And then plus the fact that I had a neighbor, a longtime neighbor across the street that had, out of three kids, she had two that were vaccine injured. One of them was just the sweetest boy, but he was clearly, quote, autistic. And the other was a girl who she had actually a physical maladies because of what had been done to her when they tried to do some surgery. And, of course, she was also vaccine injured. It was just sad. And I had a coworker I used to ride around in the truck with, and one day he told me about his autistic daughter. And I just made the comment. We had never talked about this before. I said, well, she's not really autistic. She's vaccine injured. And he literally swung his head around, looked at me, and he said, I know you're right. You know, it's like he was so glad to hear it. And I said, really, how do you know I'm right? He goes, because I saw the lights go out. I said, really, what did you mean? He said, well, when she was 4 years old, he took her to the doctor, you know, to get a bunch of shots, right? And the next day, she was never the same. So it's like this thing that's in front of us. To me, it's like a monster, and it's very frustrating.
Same thing. There's a very touching story of a mother of two twins who were just animated, talkative, joyful, full of life, and when they were vaccinated, they lost it all. It was literally seeing the lights go out. They lost all their character, personality, character because of the vaccines. Now, the issue is not the vaccines per se, Paul. It's politics. It's the fact that fallacies predominate in politics, and it's too easy to discredit serious medical sources if you can say they're just anti-vax. Then you're excused from taking seriously everything they have to say. That's the situation with Peter McCullough. He cannot declare himself to be anti-vax, whether he is or isn't. He can't declare it because it was compromised his ability to get the point across where he's our leading medical expert. I mean, this is the most cited medical expert in the world today, Giuseppe.
Oh, Jim, you're exactly right. I mean, there's some people in the chat room that want to tell us that truth trumps everything, but the world is a complex place, and the Satanists wield immense power. And so McCullough, Kennedy Jr., so many who are in the system are doing great work, and they have to appear to play the game. And no doubt there's, even my dear friend, Dr. Judy Mikovits, who's coming back to the Perfect Triangle a week from Friday, used to say, I'm not anti-vaccine, but in reality, she absolutely is. And now she says, you don't want to take any injection of any kind, and she gets it. But at first, you need to try to appear to play within the Overton window, and then when they attacked her and destroyed her, she no longer has to appear to play in there. And so now she's telling the truth, that she cautions everyone, do not take any injection anymore. They're all full of poisons, genetic manipulation, nanotechnology unproven. It's absolutely satanically evil what is in these Jew jabs. It's insane.
Scorpio. Yeah, and if I could just comment too, I think Giuseppe made some great points. And, you know, Paul, we can't disregard potential allies who are headed in the right direction. I mean, what you said is true as well, but, you know, we have to take our allies where we can find them, as long as they are well-intentioned and sincere. And I do believe Dr. McCullough is essentially that. But as time goes on, I think the Overton window will shift, and more things that were conspiracy theories and you know, anti-Semitism are going to become more and more allowable in the discussion as we move forward once this narrative fully collapses.
Well, gentlemen, we've got another caller from area code 281. Please join the discussion. Tell us your name and where you're calling from and what do you got on your mind?
Yes. All this has been fact-checked, and this is disinformation, and you need to get your shots, get the vaccine, stop being a chud.
Is this Bruce?
Yeah, this is Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce. I'm going to run out and get my Jew jab.
Get the vaccine.
I'm running out, man. Okay, I'm gonna sign off early.
Awesome. Hey, you know, that Dr. McCullough, he's an old school doctor, kind of, that I used to work with on occasion, and, it's sure good to hear him on your program. That takes the discussion up a notch here, not the discussion, but the visibility, because I'm sure that this program is going to be downloaded, quite a few times. Just out of curiosity, I'm sure he'll bring some new audience over to Revolution. Well, my thing on the vaccines is, as an adult, I had hepatitis B vaccines, and it didn't seem to hurt me. So I think they're all made the same, you know, the old school dead virus vaccine. That's probably okay for adults. I believe in freedom of choice, though, and informed consent. We need to be careful with children. How many?
I got a question for you. Do you know what hepatitis is? Do you know what the definition of hepatitis is?
I know it's an illness. It's bloodborne and also in fecal matter and what have you, and bodily fluids.
So,
what?
Just all you got to do is go online and look it up. Inflammation of the liver.
Liver. There you go. It's been a long time.
So why would anybody take a shot to prevent inflammation? How does that work? So just throw that out for you.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I don't know, but what I'm getting at is it didn't seem to affect me, but the children. I mean, because children have developing immune systems, and when they're little, shooting them up with all these vaccines, that's pretty damn questionable, you know. And you don't have a choice if you want to send your kid to school, you know. As babies now, they shoot them up, so I'm totally against that, you know. Yeah.
Hence my position and my frustration.
The increase the more vaccine, the more autism, the less vaccine, the less autism. There's no question about the drug.
Yeah.
Someone
in my family had his little child vaccinated, and he became autistic. So, yeah, it's, you know, I've been noticing for for about maybe 20 years now. The pharma has been buoying up the mainstream media. And so they've been working on this for a long time, he thinks.
There are estimates that at this rate, half of our children will be autistic by 2050. Scorpio.
Oh, man.
Well, yeah, you know, the evidence against vaccine is overwhelming. But again, this just sort of highlights the control that doctors are under by Big Pharma. And the vaccine agenda goes to the very top of the food chain, as we see with the World Economic Forum and, you know, this veterinarian Borla and, you know, and the Gavi Institute. The vaccines have been a longstanding, part of this conspiracy. And that's why vaccines have complete immunity from, you know, essentially damage they cause. And this experimental use vaccine, I mean, it's just an absolute free-for-all. And I think a lot of people overlook this experimental use clause here. It's saying, hey, sorry, you know, you took it. It was an emergency, and it's on you. And I think we might see a real clash here. I was hoping to ask Dr. McCullough this. I think we might see a real clash here between insurance companies and pharmaceutical companies over who's going to pay the bill for all the damages that's been caused.
Yeah. Yeah, good points. Good points.
Giuseppe.
I think both Bruce and Paul are making excellent points, and I think that Scorpio especially, the idea of what really is hepatitis, and, you know, you can treat liver inflammation, and a lot of times people are diagnosed and they have some type of liver parasite, it's such a scam. Like when we had Dr. Lorraine Day on several months ago, and she just pointed out, do you want to know, we're already under world communist government because the whole world fell for the scamdemic, and that you can apply that same line of thinking to Big Pharma convincing the world that they need these hepatitis shots when they're all worthless and useless.
Absolutely correct. And the thing that's frustrating is when you see how far back this goes. One of the very first things I watched back in 2020 was Stefan Lanka, Pandemic Theater. It's on BitChute. You can still find it. Pandemic Theater, The History of the Infection Theory, or something like that. But it's German with English subtitles. The video quality is quite poor, but he packs so much in a 45-minute video. And he goes into what's going on in the Middle Ages. Okay, that's how long he uses a great phrase where he says a fraud turned into a crime. And essentially it wasn't enough for these evil, vile Jews to poison the wells of towns and villages, which is one of the things they were known for besides ritual child murder and sacrifice, but they were also known for their poisonous medical concoctions. And so this has been going on since the Middle Ages, and it's just so frustrating to me. And Jim, you said a couple of things that, you know, I'll agree with, but also disagree with, is that, you know, I'm not going to dismiss or toss to the side anybody who isn't fully awake, right? Like Dr. Peter McCullough, we do need all these allies. I was just expressing my personal frustration, which I'm sure Scorpio and Giuseppe and you, Jim, can also relate to, that what we're looking at is monstrous. Okay. And I can't think of all the various ways, I can't help but think of all the various ways it could and should be defeated. And this is what it reminds me of is a book a friend of mine recommended to me years ago when he was trying to wake me up in the 90s. And it's called Fear of the Jew Syndrome by Ray Jurjevic. And, you know, it's like he just wrote a book about this. We all seem to have this syndrome where, you know, it's just kind of over. We can't speak against it. We can't say certain things.
Bye, Paul.
We can't bring up certain topics.
We're at the break, Paul. Stand by.
Okay.
We'll be back after this break.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, here we are again after an absolutely sensational conversation with Dr. Peter McCullough. Giuseppe, your thoughts? Where did we leave off? Was it Paul in the middle of a sentence?
Yeah, go ahead, Paul. Finish up your thought.
Well, I pretty much just wrapped it up with that last reference. But the idea is that, as Giuseppe has so well said on many shows, that the cult of scientism is what we're looking at, and most people have the thinnest veneer of knowledge. All I've done the last few years is ask people to define certain things, just like I did Bruce. I said, okay, what do you mean by, oh God, my mind's a blank now with the liver hepatitis, right? See, a lot of these things I just did on my own where I just typed it in. I looked it up. I said, okay, what is this? Cause I don't really know that much about it. I did that with, hydrochloroquine. I wanted to know how it worked. So I just typed in hydrochloroquine mechanism of action, and learn that its main benefit is it suppresses or interferes with autophagy, which is the body's process of essentially eliminating dead and dying cells. So you temporarily feel better. Illness is unpleasant, and we have to distinguish, and I know Giuseppe will agree with this, injury from illness. And I don't think that illness is as specific as modern medicine wants to make it, because modern medicine makes all its money by having specific illnesses with specific treatments and so forth, specific causes. But I think illness is much more general, and it's the body's attempt to heal. And most of the things that are palliative just interfere with the healing process. I recently was sick. It was about a better part of a month ago now, but for about 7 or 8 days, I didn't really eat anything. I couldn't. I didn't feel like it. And I was tempted to try to go take these remedies to make myself feel better, but I knew I had to write it out because my body was healing, detoxing, cleansing, whatever you want to call it. And slowly but surely, I started to feel better. But I was in such a bad way. I never thought I would have a good relationship with food again. I mean, that's how bad it was. So anyway, those are my thoughts for the moment.
Do we still have Bruce with us? Bruce, did you want to add a further thought?
I think he's still here. Let me look.
Scorpio, your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, I wish we had Dr. McCullough for more time, and I hope we get him back on soon.
We'll get him back. We'll get him back.
Yeah, that was a great job getting him on. And, you know, I just think that we really shouldn't let our guard down here. This is not over. This is just the beginning, in my opinion. And, you know, while I applaud the efforts of what's the lawyer of the Reinhard
Fulmick.
I applaud his efforts. You know, I just don't see how that's going to go anywhere. I mean, for the few people that watch the live feed and the videos, yeah, it's right. Great. The problem we have, there's no mechanism to bring these people to accountability right now.
And
that's because
nobody could. Nobody could second that point more than I do, Scorpio. What you say all the time about that.
That's the other thing we're facing is there's no mechanism to punish these people right now. It's not going to happen under the current system, and we need to recognize that and start figuring out a way to create something different.
Paul, you wanted to squeeze a word in?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard Scorpio make this point so many times, and I couldn't agree more. The thing that we have to keep in mind is these people have not gone anywhere, and they're not going anywhere. So even if they drop the mandates in Canada, these people are still here, and they're still going to push forward. I mean, they've invested, who knows, billions. I mean, when you look at just the nanotech in the vaccine, right? I mean, this is a project that they've had in mind for a very long time. So, you know, we have to face a cold, hard reality. And I know there's Canadian truckers that feel this way. They must have already figured this out. It's just getting together in small groups to take care of business. Because driving your truck around and parking it and honking the horn is not going to do anything. And I know you took me to task a few weeks ago, Jim, and you kind of made me admit, okay, it's a good thing. Okay, yeah, it's a good thing. But still, these people are still there, and they're not going anywhere. So we have to deal with them sooner or later. And everybody knows what I mean. Giuseppe knows what I mean. There's no other way out. They pushed us into a corner, and they've declared war on us. And enough people are starting to wake up now. More need to wake up. But enough people know what this is about. It's about death. I mean, their agenda is death. And there's no other way to put it, okay? It's death to our society. It's death to us physically, medically, any way you want to look at it.
Paul, I think we all agree. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Oh, I think that Paul's making – we've got good Paul today. He's making some fantastic observations. And, yeah, I mean, there is illness and it's been around since the dawn of man, and there's so many effective natural ways to treat it, and it's, you know, this we've been under this malevolent tyranny of 110 years of Rockefeller globalist snake oil, and I mean this was an intentional initiative to destroy the thriving natural medicine colleges and homeopathic medicine colleges and natural herbalists, Western herbalists. And what's funny is more and more people are waking up and organic medicine and organic food is a multi-billion dollar growth industry. And that's why even, you know, they got the laws changed. They being the corporate parasites got the laws changed as to the definition of organic and everything. But, you know, I think that ultimately, like our friend Sonia Roach Duncan said when she was on our show a couple of months ago, Babylon always falls and they always overextend. And the Rothschild globalist parasites have completely overextended and gone all in. And I mean, the great effort by the Canadian truckers to show that they really don't have any real power. The only power these parasites have is what the citizenry allow. And so the citizenry are getting tired of that. So it's vital that we keep making more gains. I'll be very interested to get your three guys' opinion of what's going to happen with the American truckers initiative coming very soon.
We have another caller, by the way, standing by from the 780 area code. Please give us your first name and your state and join the conversation.
780, are you there?
Nobody there?
Well,
okay, we'll just continue. Scorpio, you want to add on to Giuseppe's observations?
Well, sure. About the American trucker, we'll see if that actually manifests. I've read articles it's going to happen. We'll see. It seems kind of goofy, frankly, to drive your truck all the way from California to, I guess, Washington.
Hello?
780 is here
and,
now.
I think let me just finish up, then we'll get the caller.
You got it.
I think the big takeaway from the Canadian trucker, I call it a debacle to some degree, is that peaceful protests are going to be met with violence if you're protesting a major component of the covert agenda. That's the lesson learned. That's going to be the template moving forward. I don't think there's any escaping that.
Well, I think you're right. 708, are you there? 780,
yes, 780. I'm here. Giuseppe, man, I've been wanting to tell you, man, I love listening to when you're on the Jim Fetzer. You had great commentary. Sorry if it's loud. I'm just working here, guys. But well done on getting Peter McCullough on there. I noticed on Historical Lies Exposed, on Hollyhoax Lies Exposed on BitChute, that while all this is going on here in Canada, they're trying to pass an anti-Semitism law. It was brought out by MP into Saskatchewan, and all under the radar, you know, don't let any good emergency go to waste. You know, they're Amen. Throwing it in there and all under the radar. And anyway, I wasn't sure if you guys noticed that, but I got to drop out there. I got to chat up my boss, but take care, and it was good talking to you.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, great to hear from Canada.
Yeah, great call.
We also have Bruno.
I can just briefly comment.
Go ahead.
It was a great call.
Go ahead, Scorpio.
Yeah, I think it was a great call, and it's interesting that they're going to try to pass a anti-Semitism law. I think that's a failure because the people behind this sort of stuff are getting a little nervous, and it's interesting how there's no call to establish anti-Catholic Church hate speech is there. So that's an interesting little there.
We don't call it a Jew jab for nothing.
I know, I was going to say their playbook is hilariously thin, right? It's like racism and anti-Semitism. That's about it. It's pathetic.
Oh, and homophobia.
Yeah, right. I know.
We got Bruce standing by. Bruce, join the conversation.
Yeah, Jim, I would like to correct the record and say some of your most important hours is ever since I've been joining you since 2016, 2017, and Jeff Lentz Network, and ever since. A good guess, but not one of your most important hours by any means. You know, we've had Judy Mikovits and so many other good people on here telling us about real history, real health, real things about viruses and illnesses and so on and so forth, and discounting, vaccines overall. You know, I mean, if I ask you, who am I? I've been giving vaccinations to children and adults my entire career. I've never blinked an eye. I've collected the money and so on and so forth. And then when they rolled out what they called a vaccine, even though it's not a vaccine, called mRNA, I went out and I got two of those myself. But now I'm against it, but I'm not anti-vaccine. Who am I? But then if I was to say, well, in 2020 and 2021, they came after me because I had over 30,000 articles speaking about vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, all these other things under the sun, nutraceuticals, how to do natural health. I had thousands, over 30,000 articles, and they came after me because it counteracted their narrative. And I went and I took them all down. No longer available to the public. Who am
talking
I?
Talking about Mercola.
When I go on air and I say, well, I don't think they had bad intent, but although they were telling everybody to stay indoors, quit their jobs, close their doors, close their business, not go to school, wear a mask, vitamin C was bad, hydrochloroquine was bad, and then eventually ivermectin was bad, vitamin D was bad, so on and so forth. Wait for the vaccine that we're about to introduce to you. Who am I? When they have so many of these vaccines that allegedly they shipped, not only just shipped them, shipped billions of these doses from the 4, 5, 6 different companies all around the world, billions of doses, and allegedly they got billions of doses into people's arms, not one shot, two shot, but also booster shots, 3 and 4 by now, a bunch of people that are stupid enough to get it. But yet, how long does it take logistically to produce something, bottle it, package it, put it on a truck, ship it out, put it on a plane, ship it wherever, store it, and then get it to all these distribution centers? Logistically, how long does that take? Who am I? Then they have so many produced that allegedly the labels they put on them are expiring, and they're putting out documents now that says even though it's expired, you can still use it. Who am I? So when we talk about most important people and they gotta capitulate a little because they don't want to get thrown under the bus and, you know, they're important, they're on the inside, there's a limit to where that stands. And then this is the things that people need to realize, okay? There's a limit. I understand where he's coming from. I understand where you guys are coming from, but he's got to be careful. But nonetheless, being careful is what got us here in the first place. Go ahead.
Well, those are great points,
well
Drew.
Done.
Yeah. I mean, I think that we're all right. I mean, I think that you have to – a guy like that is playing within his framework, right? He's an allopathic successful physician. You know, he doesn't – he probably hasn't even investigated that the entire history of vaccination is a deadly, malevolent farce. Judy Mikovits used to believe in vaccines. She gets it now. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny used to – believe in it, and she used to testify against people and put parents in jail for shaking baby system. She's done her penance to try and you know, but we all have our role, and the fact that this guy is still on a major stage is useful to us, and so that's the way I see it. We all have our role.
Anyway, look, the thing was a common cold. He had no evidence whatsoever. Him and so many others had no evidence whatsoever there was any more, you know, a virus, oh, we're all scared. All he had to do was look out his door and see the same thing we were all seeing. Nobody
Agreed.
Was falling over in the streets like the TikTok videos they gave us out of China.
Yeah.
All you have to do today, and I said this in summer of 2020, go ahead, go on your search engine, use Bing or Brave or DuckDuckGo, and type in coronavirus China. Look at the statistics there. Those numbers have not changed in coming up on two years. Since the summer of 2020, only to date, how many deaths have they ever had from allegedly COVID-19 coronavirus? 4,500 and something to date. They only had 100,000 or so cases, period. And then they actually have a recovery column, recovered 100,000 or so. In the United States, it's like over 3 million or something, whatever the freaking ridiculous number is. Australia, a ridiculous number. England, a ridiculous number. Canada, a ridiculous number. There's a ridiculous number in cases, and then there's this ridiculous number in deaths. And then, you know, in the recovery column, it's empty.
See, I think the thing that Brew is expressing, and I think we all can relate to this, is the frustration that A, other people's minds don't work the same way ours do, or B, that a lot of people don't make the effort, you know, or look in the same direction as we all do. I'm guilty of it too. It's a spectrum. You know, there's an awakening spectrum out there, and some people need more patience than others. But I get it.
Yes, these people are too busy being right that they won't investigate to see where they're wrong.
They know what they know,
and very little changes that. They go off this what they think they know, what they've been taught, what they've been practicing. Because it's hard to change a habit. And when you're in a career like that and so on and so forth, and the new things come along, yes, you think, okay, a doctor and a new procedure, or this is a better way to do surgery, and this is a better way to treat something or whatever. They've been doing it so darn long, and that is their paycheck, their bread and butter. They don't sway too much. Because,
Let me interject, the sausage fest is over. We're joined by a brilliant lady, Mer Bailey. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mer.
Oh, thank you. Hi. Hi, Brutes, Paul, Bruce, and Brew. Join the Brutes. Yeah, I didn't catch this first hour, but I'll catch it later. And I've seen a lot of interviews with him. And, you know, one with Chris Steiner, he had a bad case of allergy, and he's doing a miraculous job, really, just staying in the public eye at all, revealing the
right.
Who he is revealing. So
yep.
Kudos to him. But we need more and more of this for people to wake up en masse. And whether it will happen or not, we'll see. But, you know, now with this truckers thing, people forget, too, in 2013 there was a protest about the Constitution that truckers held. Do you remember that? Pete Santilli stole $500,000 from them in their fundraiser.
Right.
And here he now has a show on Bright Eon. It's not Bright Eon. It's Bright Eon in any case. And Jeffrey pointed out. But also, too, with Elaine Day, I just love to listen to her, how she puts things together. She'll be 85 tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And definitely, you know, it's proof the world is under one world government if they can shut it down in a week. And we know who that one world government is. And we also know that we're bankrupt. We've been bankrupt since March 9, 1933. Why, America? And in 93, Trafficant, and I'll send you if I haven't already, the rest of his speech, you know, he spoke for about 3 minutes, but there's some more than that was put into the record, and how we're under the Treasury, it was put under the IMF. I mean, there's no independence here. We're in a feudal system. We're serfs. And so to pretend we're not bond, because what they do, the legislature is all handed over to agencies, probably through the CFR, and who are like 5,000% overrepresented. Echo, echo, echo. But they distribute this legislation, and then the agencies can turn it 180. They can do whatever they want with it and enforce it. And that's what they're doing, calling things mandates and then enforcing it. And it's going to get more brutal. But the best thing I think you can do right now is just don't play their game. You know, Mancott, boycott, all grown up, right? That goes to words we use and sites we decide to click on or not. I mean, like, I won't even click on Amazon. I mean, once in a while by accident, but I don't stay there. You know, and another good search engine is QWANT, Q-W-A-N-T. Now, a lot of people, they call it Quant or whatever, and that's fine, but they do their own indexing. So it's a leg up. DuckDuckGo isn't, they've been compromised. And anyway, this is ongoing, what they're doing to us. But they're having a hard time because there's so many more of us than there are of them. So we just keep being strong, people, and enjoying life. That's a success that they can't stand, that we're happy nonetheless.
Right. Good points.
Speak for yourself.
Hey, well, you know, I'm easy to please, so.
Well, you're in a tranquil situation. We've been hearing about your
I don't know how tranquil it is.
Years,
you know,
and,
it's minus
well,
zero.
A voice in all of our space here, RBN and so forth, and Revolution Radio and whatever. So, but no, we followed your journey, and you know, you're clear-headed and good-hearted and well-researched and very intelligent, and that we appreciate about you, Mark.
Thank you, sir. I just want to see all of us keep ourselves healthy, because that's how you do it. Is you know, we have this little word hopium that's been put on us. Oh, so no, hope is just expecting, and you can't expect things to improve if you're not trying to push towards that, imagining it, dreaming it, living the dream, right, Giuseppe?
Yes, indeed.
We're in the home.
Got a dream.
And we've dream
the life.
Paul and Murr and Bruce and Brew. Giuseppe, an overview about today's show, and then we'll turn to Scorpio for closing thoughts.
Well, Jim, I thought that this was a watershed show, that we're getting big enough that we can bring in mainstream heavy hitters like Dr. Peter McCullough, and we'll continue to seek even bigger names, because the Overton window is shifting towards us. We have been 2 years have been hammering, and people within the system like Dr. Peter McCullough, they have to do what they have to do. But the fact that he put his life, his reputation, his career on the line, and he was a moral, ethical man, and there are probably hundreds of thousands of doctors like that. And if he can inspire more allopaths to join this fight, you know, we have, this is a, like Kennedy Jr. said, this is the hill we fight on. And this is the hill we die on, but we're going to win this fight, because we are, this is a spiritual war, and we're fighting the synagogue of Satan. And, if this scamdemic falls, it's all going to fall. And so that's what we have to do.
Scorpio, your concluding thoughts.
Great points. And I'd like to thank, Murr for calling in. She made really good points
right,
too. You know, I think, you know, I see what Brew is saying, but you know, we have to, take our allies where we can find them. And, you know, a lot of these people are sort of, you know, not the same level we are. And everyone kind of puts the pieces together at their own speed. So as long as the person is sincere and trying to move forward with their understanding, I think we need to accept all the allies we can get right now. But we have to be careful to root out the people who are pretending to be allies, who are disingenuous and deceitful. But, I believe Dr., our guest today was fantastic, and I think as far as he takes it, he's spot on.
Yeah.
I don't discount McCullough at all. He talks about myocarditis and the other effects and so on and so forth. They are not side effects. They are the effects. They are designed to do what they're doing. You know, I mean, really, I mean, all the things that people could have stood out for, intelligent and whatever, and with the reputation of McCullough and a plethora of others, could have stood up, like artists and Dr. Brian Artis and other people, Brian Cole and so on and so forth. You know, I mean, I don't even know where McCullough stands on the PCR test, to know that was a fraud this entire time, DNA harvesting, that it really wouldn't test for what it's allegedly testing for, and so on and so forth. These are the things we need to point out. And yes, I am with McCullough. I appreciate it, and I play his clips myself. You know, but nonetheless, there has to come a time
to
stand
coward,
with us.
Though. That's the problem. Turn out to be a coward.
But, Paul, we got it. We gave you the chance. You said your piece. We appreciate it. We're expressing our appreciation for Dr. McCullough coming on the show. I believe this was a very significant hour. If Brew wants us, we've had other hours of equal significance or greater. That's just fine.
No. I was talking about McCullough, not McCullough.
The point I'm making is that this was wonderful that Peter McCullough.
We're not. anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I'm in such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. Oh, what? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.